Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Go ahead, please. We'll just turn the show right over to you.
Okay. I want to stir the pot today. Oh. And I know it's going to upset some people, but you know what? I don't care. Now, we have a problem in this country. It's a very small problem, but it's trying to make everybody bend and comply with that little problem. And that's transgenderism. You see, we have a person down in D.C. that was the health official here in PA that thinks he's a woman. That's perfectly fine if he wants to live that way. But do not require me to approve of it. That's where the problems come in with this thing. Okay, these people can live however they want. But when they try and push their agenda on everybody else and make us comply, that I have a problem with. And that's what they're trying to do. You know, I heard somebody call a radio station yesterday. It wasn't this one, because I listened to Multi. The woman was working in a store, okay? And this person came in. She said he looked like a guy. Talk like a guy, and when she said thank you sir, he went off on her and said, I am not a man, I am a woman. Well, when you look like a guy and you talk like a guy, you're a guy. Okay,
well, it depends on what you've done to advance your, I won't say your belief, but your desire to live another way. I mean, if the example you cite is pretty egregious, where somebody who dresses like a man, looks like a man, talks like a man, walks in and says, I'm a woman, I mean, I don't see how we can be expected to honor that, because they haven't made any serious effort to convert to what they want to be.
You're right, there's the problem, Joe. I don't have to honor any of them, okay? I do not have to call them a ma'am or a woman. I could say, hi, Joe. When you look like a Joe, and if I don't know any better for sure, and they say, my name's Mary, well, then I say, hi, Mary. But I will not call them a him or a her or whatever just because they think they are one when they're not, okay? Their DNA is still, if they're a man, they're a man. If they're a woman, they're a woman. Don't matter how they identify. When they die and they dig them up in 100 years and they test the DNA on that person and they don't know, you know, if the headstone says Mary James lived, you know, is buried here, but they dig it up and it says, nope, it was John James because it was a male in there. What's history going to record?
Well, I think that it's difficult. It's problematic. It would be like if a white person says, I want to be black, or a black person says, I want to be white. The fact that that's what you want to be doesn't mean that you can successfully accomplish that act.
Well, there was a woman up in New England states that did that for years, from my understanding. I forget what her name is, but she had portrayed herself as a black woman. And finally, she had to relent and say, no, I'm a white woman. I don't remember. It's pretty recent, but I don't have the name. So, and she was some lefty that was, you know, appropriating the black culture or whatever, but she was a white woman. Well, that's a whole problem, Joe. I don't have to, you know, I don't want to force down my throat. I don't have to play into their delusion and accept that. You know, they have a mental problem, and they need to seek help for it. That's all, you know, that it is. It's a mental problem. Okay, to think that you're something that you're not, it's a delusion, and they need to seek treatment.
Well, interestingly, there was a story in today's Penn Live by Claudia DeMuro The Babylon Bee recently called former Pennsylvania Secretary
of
Health.
What is the Babylon Bee?
It's a satirical publication.
Thank you.
Called Dr. Levine their man of the year. As a response, Twitter has suspended the website's account. So, in other words, we're required, we're absolutely required at the risk of being canceled to accept what someone tells us about themselves, even if science would say that's not the case.
So if you're a federal regulator, you want to require the private business that is Twitter that no matter what anybody puts on their platform, they have to care. They can't have any guidelines. Just whatever you want to put on there, if you want to put on there, hey, so-and-so's a child pornographer and or I want to shoot a public official, Twitter should allow that because you want a federal regulation that says no matter what people post, you should allow it. So you're supposed to be a Republican. Supposed to want less government.
They allowed Ken Paxton's comments to stand along the same lines.
Isn't it a private organization? Can't they do whatever they want? Why do you think Twitter is suddenly the arbitrator of all things society?
Sunbury Broadcasting is a private organization, but we can't do anything we want.
Right.
We're federally regulated.
So you're saying that we need more regulation for Twitter?
No, I'm just saying that if you're going to be inclusive in terms of letting Ken Paxton's horrible comments stand, why wouldn't you let the Babylon be?
That's it. I just want you to show that you're hypocritical about this, that you say federal regulation is good for one media but not for another. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Anything else, Stan?
No, I just don't accept it, and I won't accept it. And as far as Rachel Levine being one of the women of the year, how does that make the feminist? I want to know. That's the other thing. I want to know what the feminists are going to do about this, because these people are trampling all over women's rights and opportunities.
All right,
okay?
We got you.
That's what's happening.
All right, we got you, Stan. Thank you so much. Yeah, thanks
Stan.
For checking in. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Joe's here promulgating, hoping upon hope that Twitter, which is a private industry, is forced to carry more and more material, even if it's untrue or disrespectful or ignorant or whatever. But they
now,
should
is
be
that
forced.
All of those things. Disrespectful, ignorant.
It doesn't matter. You want them to be forced to carry anything anybody says anytime.
No, but I'm asking
and
you.
And I'm saying Twitter's a private business. What they want to.
What the grounds would be for banning Ken Paxton and banning a satirical publication, the Babylon Bee. We used to have senses of humor in this country. I was watching an episode of Johnny Carson last night with Don Rickles on. Don Rickles today would, oh my gosh, he'd be driven out of town on a rail.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, why can't we just accept the fact that some people are going to say, this is what I am, and other people are going to say, no, you're not.
Why don't you just accept that somebody is transgender rather than making fun of them or calling them
a he
or something like that.
No,
well, that's what you're advocating people should be able to do on Twitter.
Well, if that's how they feel, why should they suppress their feelings in order to make someone else feel better about themselves?
So if I feel as though, well, never mind, scratch that. Okay, all right,
what do you feel you are today? You have a lot of hair on your face. You feel you're a
No, I'm just saying that if you think Twitter should be regulated and they should be forced to carry your remarks or whatever it is you're talking about.
No, I'm just saying they should apply the same standard to everybody. If they're going to say that you can't say this or you can't say that, then nobody should be allowed to say it.
Well, in America, unfortunately, businesses have freedoms, so they get to carry who they wish to and they don't have to carry others. But you want your federal regulation to force them to carry all this.
No, I don't.
Then they'll carry everything.
Federal regulation.
Well, how are they going to do it then? How are you going to force it on them?
I think that they should want to do it themselves in fairness to everybody.
And you know what they should say. What should Twitter say? I love it. We have to get our main voice to do this. What Joe says they should say. Okay. Joe, what should they say?
They should say that if they feel they need to comment at all, that the Babylon Bee is a satirical publication. And while we may not find this humorous, it is their right to say it.
All right. And even if they don't think it's funny, it's a private publication. Even if they don't want to print it, they should. Does the Daily Adam absolutely positively have to print absolutely everything you send to them no matter what?
No.
Okay, so why is that good for them, but Babylon Bee or Twitter, nope, absolutely positively anything you post, they have to carry. Why is
that? It's not absolutely positively anything you have to post. They seem to have certain things that set them off that they don't like.
Well,
in other words, calling someone who says they are transgender, someone else says, no, I don't believe that's the case. They allow the person who's transgender to post, but not the person who says, no, I don't think think they are.
I gotcha.
I mean, is that unfair, or isn't it?
No, that's 100% clear. But I just think that when you have like WKOK, we're a private business. Now, yes, we have all kinds of regulations. But if you came up here with an ad to sell bloody chickens on the main street and advocating for child pornography, guess what? Are we going to carry that ad? No.
Yes, you are.
Oh, we have to carry it no matter what.
Okay. I shouldn't have said that so quickly. No, you can reject an ad for various causes, but it has to be clear cut and it has to be uniform. You can't. If someone came on and said, "I want to buy an ad to promote," let me give you an example. A few years ago, there was a gentleman's club or a strip joint, if you want to call it that, when I was managing the station years ago down in around the Port Treverton area, that wanted to run an ad here in the station. Now their ad was totally G-rated. It just said, "Gentlemen, if you've had a hard day at work and you want to relax, come on down to whatever the name of the place was, and bring your own bottle and have a good time." And, you know, everybody was calling me up saying, "Well, you can't run that ad. That's a strip club. These people are taking their clothes off." And I said, you know, they ran a G-rated ad for an R-rated or possibly X-rated business. Mm-hmm. You have to deal with what's in front of you. It's a G-rated ad. That's acceptable. So there could not be, in my opinion, a G-rated ad for child pornography.
All right. Well, we're going back around in a circle. You're proving my point that
proving your point?
Because you say there are some standards where you don't have to run somebody's ad, or in Twitter's case, or Babylon Bee, you don't have to run somebody's comment. So,
but we do politically.
WKOK, we have limits and we have things you can't say. You can't come on here and say, "I'm trying to open a child pornography business. I'll see you on Main Street," and so on. You wouldn't run that ad. So Babylon Bee and Twitter, they have standards. They say we don't want to run things that we think are whatever their standards are. I don't have any idea. It doesn't matter.
I think a better example, Joe, is a website several years ago that was actually advertising nationwide on television and radio called Ashley Madison. And their tagline at the end was, "Life's short. Have an affair." That's what they were. That's what that website was.
Are they still in business, Kevin?
As my wife might be listening, I cannot say that I've visited the website, all right?
Fair enough. I thought for a minute that was a hair product company. You know, it sounds like that other commercial for the lady who has her own hair colors. But the problem I see here is that it's a slippery slope.
Regulation.
It's a balancing act between trying to do what preserves society's morals, if you will, is that really our job?
I just think you're on thin ground forcing private entities to carry messages from people with whom they disagree. I just don't think you should be forced to, but you say you should.
But what if I have, let's turn it around. You're always saying it's unfair. Suppose I have a website that's wildly popular, and I won't allow Dr. Rachel Levine to post because she's transgender. Now, would you think that was fair?
Well, I guess you could argue if you had some sort of a standard in that regard that everybody who posts must portray themselves as the gender that they were born with, their gender assigned at birth. It seemed like a cockamamie rule, but so to speak. But
that would be my right.
But if that's your rule, I guess it wouldn't be right, you know, in my view. But
the other side of it is right. In other words, if I ban the people who say, "No, she isn't transgender. She happens to not have been born that way."
Look, I'm just saying, I didn't even know what Babylon Bee is, but if they have rules for things you post, and this fellow wants to post things that are against those rules, that's their prerogative. I don't want to go in there and control them.
This is what they printed.
And likewise, Twitter. Twitter says, okay, you can post whatever you want within certain bounds. If we find that it's false or we disagree with the content, or if it's, you know, ultra-Republican or conservative, we're not going to do it.
This is what they said. Levine, and this is a quote, Levine is the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, where he serves proudly as the first man in that position to dress like a Western cultural stereotype of a woman, reads the article. He's also an admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps. What a boss.
All right. Well,
now,
I say
that,
to them, and
I
say to that individual, I say to Stan, the less you know about transgender, make sure you don't find out anything real about it. Don't talk to anybody who's transgender.
But this
don't
is
study
a
up on the
satirical
issue.
Satirical magazine.
The less less you know, the better.
So satire must be banned. This is satirical. This is not.
This is not anything.
an anti-anybody publication. This is a satirical publication.
You're the one that wants to regulate Twitter so that they're forced to carry messages they don't agree with.
No, I'm asking you, is satire permitted anymore if it offends people? Are we allowed to offend people through humor anymore in this country?
Babylon Bee exists. Isn't that satire?
They've offended Twitter.
The Onion exists.
They're told to be taken
off. I'm sure there's comedians. All right. Fortunately, Kevin tells us Ashley Madison as a website is still online.
Well, there you go.
So if there's somebody out there, not Joe.
Or you.
Oh, no, not me, who wants to do that. I can't even keep one wife happy. I do not need extras. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would like to hear from you today. I think we have two things. One, we have Stan's very concerned about the fact that he doesn't understand transgenderism, and that's fine. That's certainly his prerogative. And
now, what makes you say he doesn't understand it? He spoke quite clearly about what it was.
We said he doesn't like it.
So if you don't like it, you don't understand it?
And well,
so
he just doesn't get it. I mean, obviously, he's not informed on it, which is fine. That's not a sin to be uninformed on something, Joe. Look at all the history things that I've forgotten over the years. I'm uninformed on them. Look, don't take it as a criticism. It's just a fact.
But you're saying that Stan's uninformed. Suppose Stan is entirely informed. He understands what it is, and he doesn't like it.
Well, then we'll give him that much. But by the things that he tells us, it tells us that he isn't that informed. But that's all right. That's his prerogative. He doesn't have to.
In your opinion, the things he tells us indicate a lack of information.
Well, this is an opinion
program
show, Joe.
Well, my opinion, he may well know everything he needs to know about it to have formed a judgment.
Bing. Now, that is the truest statement ever spoken. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you again. Stan, maybe you want to call back in again, which is perfectly okay. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. One of our listeners says, Stan needs to get a life. Does he lay awake at night to think, what will I call WKOK about tomorrow? And another listener says this.
Says, Mark, when Twitter bans proven truth because it goes against their desired political narrative, like the Hunter laptop story, they aren't putting truth first.
Well, who says Twitter is the truth? Who set them as the arbitrator of all truth? They're not the truth. It's opinions.
But that's
what tweets are.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not opinions. They're saying it's hate speech.
They're saying it's hate speech, not an opinion.
So my opinion,
if
you find, and this was the point that I brought up yesterday, and the point that really needs discussion.
Can we not have opinions anymore?
Okay, but if your opinion, if I consider your opinion hate speech, I have downgraded your opinion. I have said your opinion is not worth anything because you don't agree with me.
Okay.
That's the problem as I see it.
All right, 1-800-795-9565, top text there that's still highlighted.
Says, why does Twitter still allow terrorists and Putin on their platform? I think they may violate community standards on Twitter.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. It's a lot of folks aren't happy that Twitter does pick and choose that which they allow to appear. I say they're a private business. If you follow them, you get what you get. But other folks say, no, they should be forced to carry every opinion. 1-800-795-9565. We will be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Yeah, we'll be right back. the thing is here, this isn't, I know that there are people who are going to argue this is strictly a religious issue. It's a religious issue, but it's not. The issue to me is whether or not hate speech, if I'm guilty, if I have an opinion and I express it, mm-hmm. and it's the opposite of someone else's opinion, why is my opinion hate speech and theirs isn't?
The I don't definition, know. It's a private service if they think it's hate speech.
Okay.
I don't think they it violates their policies, not necessarily
here's,
hate speech.
Here's the difference. This is the definition of hate speech from the Oxford Language Dictionary. Abusive or threatening speech or writing that expresses prejudice against a particular group, especially on the basis of race, religion, or sexual orientation. That would make St. Patty's Day a hate speech event, in my opinion.
It's a hate event. Well,
it is. It's
I don't look
speech.
Good in green, I will
I mean,
say
they,
that. I
mean, they make call us leprechauns and we are all drunken Irishmen.
And?
That's hate speech.
Oh, it's, all right, Stan, you get 60 seconds.
Yeah, Mark, you said that Twitter allows truth on their platform and they try to prevent it from getting put on. Is that what you said earlier? There's something along those lines.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Well, there's tons of stuff on Twitter that's not true.
Oh, absolutely. I know. That's why that was a little ironic what you said. I know there's a lot of stuff on Twitter that's not true. You know, so that just, you know, that's, you know, don't make that statement. But as far as the guy that says, do I lay awake at night to wait and determine what I want to? No, I sleep quite well. And when I get up in the morning, I think about, hey, what can I stir the pot with today? So
thank
here
you.
I am.
Well,
we
need started today.
We need pot stirrers and pot stickers, too. They're all good. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Yep. Bob is next from Northumberland, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, sir.
Straighten me out a minute here. Tell me what Levine's actual title is right now.
I don't know. She's like an assistant public health secretary.
She is. Wait a second here. Former secretary of health. She is the U.S. assistant secretary for health for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and she is an admiral in the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps.
Okay. I watched Babylon Bee last night, too. I saw it on television. So I looked it up in the computer. When she was voted in, she made it in by 4 votes, number one. Number two, she lived 50 years as a male, and now she is a female. She's a pediatrician, if I understand. She disappeared down in the Biden swamp and emerged as this admiral. I think it's a financial gain and a personal gain, and they're cramming this transgender down my throat. I think if you left transgender float along the surface and not make a big issue out of it, it might settle at a point where we could accept it. But please don't jam it down my throat with these titles of somebody that isn't what it is. Jazz Jennings had a surgery. She was a male. She is now a female. There was a girl that entered a beauty contest in Vegas. The doctor approved her, Miss May, as a female. Those are approved. These other people, I think, have a cranium short circuit and go over to the transgender side because it's now profitable to be transgender.
Well, now, Rachel Levine did have surgery, so does that make her an official transgender, in your view?
I think it was cosmetic, though. It didn't improve much. Anyhow, well, that's my opinion, and you know. But like I say, if you think of, you let this settle down, I can accept gay and lesbians. They don't cause much of a wave in the circuit. The only trouble with that is one of them takes on the role of a male, even though they're both females or whatever. But anyhow, they don't cause as much of a wave as this transgender thing has caused.
All right, revealing call. Thank you so much, Bob. Thank you so much for calling in. All right, Joseph, what's it say in the Bible about being transgender? It's a sin. So it's terrible. We shouldn't do it. What else?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. My point is this. If I know you gentlemen don't, I'm sure you don't believe in evolution, you two men, right? You believe we were created, correct?
I believe in intelligent design.
Oh, I like that. That's good. I'll take that one. I'll take intelligent design.
Well, Yahweh created us out of the dust of the ground. If you're preachers and you're Christians, you got to believe that. That's what the Bible says. Okay. Now, my point is simply this. I don't hate transgenders. In fact, I pray for them. But your first caller, I got to agree with him, Dan, whoever it was. He created a male and female. And for this cause, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave onto his wife, and they too shall be one. And so that's it. That's the statement from the Almighty himself. It's in his word. And that's where I would rest my case. They're
right.
Not females if they're males. If you're born a man, you're a man. You may feel that you want to be a female, or you're homosexual or lesbian, and you want to have relations that way. That may be your business, but you don't realize what you're doing to yourself and your community. Because if you read in the Bible, he says the nations are destroyed because of those things.
Well, then under the classic definition that is applied today.
Well, yeah, I'm on my cell phone. I can hardly hear you.
I said that based on the definition of hate speech, then the Bible would be hate speech.
I'm sorry, I just couldn't make out what
okay.
you said.
Well, get on the landline when you can, and we'll finish the conversation. You got more time left, and we're just about out of time on this segment. So
yeah, I can hear you now, but yeah, I was.
You can hear me, but not
there.
Joe. Isn't that funny?
Well, that's because you probably have my microphone off.
Not today. I can turn you up a little bit.
All right, turn
so
me up.
What was your question?
I wasn't a question. I said under the definition today of hate speech, the Bible would be considered hate speech.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Even ethnic cleansing, because he told the Israelites to go kill all the Amorites. Kill them all, men, women, children, animals, everything, because of their heinous sins. That was the Almighty. That's the same one that became the loving Savior, our Savior, Yeshua Messiah.
Okay, right, thank you, Joseph. Always
pardon
good.
Me?
Thank you. We're out of time.
Heard that. Hey, thank you, sir. But call back. You still have more time if you so choose. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're making a lot of headway when it comes to acceptance and respect here today and trying to make sure that everybody kind of gets along with that. No, we're not. We're going the other way. Okay.
Hate speech.
All
that
right.
Hate speech.
More hate speech. This is WKOK Sunbury. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com and 1-800-795-9565. Again, the telephone number, email onthemarketwkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We've got a couple of texts, so we'll read those. As our show progresses, I want to tell you about one of the top 10 vehicles in the world. Consumer Reports came out with their new auto issue, and there's a couple of those vehicles that you can get at the Sunbury Motor Company, one of which is the Mustang Mach-E. I think it's number 3 in the entire world, and there are thousands of vehicles and various types and species out there. But guess what? Number 3 is the Mustang Mach-E, available at the Sunbury Motor Company. Yes, it's got a little bit of a waiting list these days because of the supply chain issues and the labor shortage and the chip shortage, but they can get them. You just got to be patient. So you'll get a 2023 Mustang Mach-E. I've driven the 2021, and it is just a fabulous vehicle with all-wheel drive, and it's an SUV, not shaped like the traditional gasoline Mustang, but just a super vehicle. Has a trunk in the front. So, of course, there's a trunk in the back, and you're sitting on a bunch of batteries, and it's got motors on all four wheels, and it is just a screamer, too. Goes about 200-some miles or so on a charge, and then you can, of course, charge it up. You can charge it up on 220 or 110, but the Mustang Mach-E, literally one of the best vehicles in the world, available at the Sunbury Motor Company. So go down there and tell Jeff you want to get on the waiting list. And 4 to 6 weeks was the old wait time, and I am told that you have to add a week or two to that now, but it'll be exhilarating every moment while you are waiting for your Mustang Mach-E. Probably gets the equivalent of about 90 miles to the gallon. Oh, it doesn't really use any gallons at all, but it's available at the Sunbury Motor Company, so check them out. Buy one, tell them Mark sent you, and you'll be a happy customer like I am at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com. We do have some brief news headlines. AP reporting that state police have opened a DUI investigation after the deaths of two state troopers in Philadelphia. Trooper Martin Mack III and Trooper Brandon Siska were killed Monday by a man who was speeding along I-95 while the troopers were trying to help an individual who was walking on the highway. Happened just before 1 a.m. Monday on I-95 in Philadelphia. They were hit by the vehicle. So was the pedestrian They were helping. All three died. The pedestrian's name is not out yet. Corporal Robert Ivancheck, the state police commissioner, said the troopers made the ultimate sacrifice, braving the dangers of traffic at night on the busy highway to aid someone whose life was in danger. Organizers of the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade say they're gearing up for this year's parade and they're looking for some help. Director of the parade, Terry Burke, says they need some volunteers to assist now and on parade day.
We're going to be fielding questions, those interested in helping with the parade committee, either as a committee member, more of a year-round commitment, or even parade day volunteers. We have a lot of needs.
Burke says the folks can help with fundraising on day of, driving a golf cart around or driving a convertible automobile, or social media coordinators. They have a lot of folks who they need help with right now. You can hear his entire interview on the WKOK podcast page. City of Sunbury honoring a Shikellamy High School wrestler who placed in the top 15 in a national tournament recently. Organizer of the parade, Victoria Rosencrantz, says she, along with the Sunbury Fire Department, WKOK, and others will be in the parade. That will be today at 6 p.m. to honor Gabby Bradigan. She placed 12th in the 2022 USA Wrestling Girls Folk Style Nationals in Colorado. Bradigan, a senior at Shikellamy, has been wrestling for 10 years. Steve Williams, our great wrestling commentator, and the WKOK Jeep going to be in that parade today. And I understand he's bringing candy, so hunker up to the vehicle.
How is candy?
She's doing well? She's doing good. That's his grandchild. And he's going to be throwing candy out the window.
He's going to be throwing candy out the window.
Uh-oh. That's not good. A recent hearing by the State Senate Law and Justice Committee focused in part on how to protect the state's medical marijuana program if adult recreational use marijuana is legalized in Pennsylvania. Our correspondent Mark Sims has that story.
Brian Murray, a PA medical marijuana grower processor at Prime Wellness, says one way to preserve the health of the state's medical marijuana program is to decrease the cost.
There's going to be some incentivization that you'll have to do for those medical patients. And then I would also make sure that there's adequate supply for medical patients. So when you flip the switch on recreational use, you also make sure that you're protecting the medical patients.
Cannabis attorney Sarah Payne says tax structure is also important.
Have excise taxes and other taxes on adult use products, but not on medical products.
Payne says possession limits in an adult use marijuana program could also help to strengthen the state's medical marijuana program.
Mark Sims, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yeah, anytime you're supporting an entire industry with one medicine, there's too much regulation, okay? And finally,
profound.
Joe's high again. It's a contact
profound,
high.
Man.
Every time we mention pot, Joe flashes back. This is not good. Flashes back to something he never did, which is the weird part, but that's all right. We have to deal with it. Anyway, the surge in gasoline prices due to the Russian-Ukraine war now starting to affect some municipal services in the Valley and Sunbury. The Municipal Authority Transfer Station says they'll increase their fuel surcharge rate. Effective yesterday, the transfer station tonnage rate in Sunbury will increase $1.50 per ton, and trash bags will increase to 25 cents more. General Manager Jason Nidick says the company who ships the trash from the transfer station is charging the authority more due to the increased oil and gasoline rates. Nidick says the rate increase was something the authority could not absorb and unfortunately are passing it on to customers. He says the intention is to eliminate the increase if and when the fuel prices come back down again. So, gasoline, very, very inflationary. And, of course, inflation was out of control already.
Got another definition of hate speech.
I've been looking them up.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the legal one that they use for prosecution. This is just in general.
Do they use a definition for prosecution?
Well, the laws on the books against hate speech, there are such laws, so there must be a...
Really? What law is on the books against hate speech?
I don't know.
I've heard people condemn it, but I'm not aware of any law unless you incite to violence. Mm-hmm. But that's a separate charge. That isn't hate speech.
I think I'm right, but I could be wrong. I'm not informed on anything.
I'm sure somebody's got a law.
As my listeners are pointing out often here.
Anyhow, here's another definition. Hate speech is any form of expression through which speakers intend to vilify, humiliate, hate or incite hatred against a group or a class of persons on the basis of race, religion, skin color, sexual identity, gender identity, ethnicity, disability, or national origin. And by that definition, St. Patrick's Day is hate speech.
Okay, so St. Patrick's Day, what's the assumption about
Irish people are drunk, that we're all leprechauns, that we got a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow?
I'm sick and tired of Irish people being called drunks. Now read the definition. Okay, here's the speech. Irish people are all drunks.
National origin.
Now read that.
Okay.
What's
hate
the definition
speech is any form of expression through which speakers intend to vilify, humiliate, or incite hatred against a group. Well, you know, that doesn't humiliate me, does it?
No. Well, no, but it doesn't have to do all three. It's intended potentially to vilify, although I mean it in an affectionate manner so that I can somebody who I know will
say. So an affectionate drunk is okay.
Right. Kiss me, I'm Irish. You know, that's what I want to have happen.
Well, you know, I think this is a mile wide and an inch deep. Hate speech is any form of expression through which speakers intend to vilify, humiliate, or incite hatred. Suppose that's not my intention. Suppose I say something you find thoroughly reprehensible, but it wasn't my intention. How are you going to determine what my intention was?
Well, intention's always a factor in sentencing. You know, did you mean to break the window? No. Well, then that's not criminal mischief. That's just, you know, something else.
Well, by this definition, there is no basis for humor anymore. We can't possibly have humor in this country. Give me a joke that would not fit into this category of hate speech. Why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?
Well, that's
are we going to be reduced to that
really
in this country?
Not really a joke. That's our only joke. I've already told you the joke.
Yeah, I got a knee slapper for you. Why did the chicken cross the road
to get to the other side?
Oh, darn it! You've heard it.
To avoid the colonel.
That's insulting to Kentucky colonels everywhere.
Nobody said Kentucky.
Them.
You're assuming Kentucky.
I didn't say it was Kentucky.
Well, no, you didn't. Okay. said to get rid of the colonel. I only know one colonel involved with chickens.
Could be the local colonels around here that we've had. The women colonels. Isn't Jody Auker a colonel?
So, in my opinion, this is not, you know, unless you understand what the speaker intended.
Well, but you have the definition, but the definition doesn't mean anything. If somebody says, okay, well, Joe, your St. Patrick's Day remark, your St. Patrick's Day remark is hate speech, but it doesn't really have any impact, so we're not going to broadcast it. You know, I think, you know, that's your prerogative, I guess, as the owner of the radio station. But I think if hate speech is attached to something else where you say, okay, well, I hate Irish people, and therefore we should all riot in whatever the Irish capital of the world is, not in Ireland, but in the U.S., then that's insightful speech. And
you ever hear of Dublin?
Maybe then. Well, yeah, but that's not in the U.S.
Okay. Under the current First Amendment jurisprudence, hate speech can only be criminalized when it directly incites imminent criminal activity.
There you go. I just
or consists
said that.
Of specific threats of violence targeted against a person or group. So it's not a crime.
All right. One of our listeners has a good email that relates
to
this
Doug
topic.
Doug says, I believe that if you were born with male or female genitalia, then you are, in fact, a male or female. So apparently, I am uninformed because I don't agree with Mark that anyone can become anything they want to be. I am a short, bald, white man, but I'd like to have a full head of hair, be a different race, and be at least 6 feet tall. So, Mark, would you recognize me as that if that's what I desire? I kind of doubt it. You are what you are when you were born. If you can't come to terms with that fact, having a few surgeries and having bleeding hearts calling you something you're not isn't going to make you satisfied and fulfilled for the remainder of your life.
All right.
Signed by Doug.
All right. Thank you for that. 1-800-795-9565. This is my favorite tweet of the day about Twitter. It's our favorite email, but it's tweet.
Says, I agree with Mark about Twitter being a privately owned company. This is a more accurate way to say it, though. And this is a tweet from David Berge. He says, as proprietor of this website, Twitter is, of course, free to curtail this handcrafted, reality-free bubble any way they want.
A reality-free bubble. All right, folks, we are on the radio in our reality Free Bubble today. Join us. Send more emails to onthemark@wdkok.com. And you could text us at 70236. We would love to hear from you. You can also, you have to put the OTM keyword in that text. 1-800-795-9565. Email onthemark@wdkok.com. Text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We are talking about, I guess we got started because the Babylon Bee, which is a satirical website, would not carry some remarks.
No, they named Dr. Levin as Man of the Year.
Okay, so and some that irritates some people. So, well, that's their prerogative, right? That's their standard, which is their interest is humor.
But that cost them their Twitter account.
Oh, okay, so they're not allowed to put on Twitter. It's funny how Twitter has always such high standards. This is crazy.
Yeah, they let Putin on there, but they get rid of
it. Jeez. Well, since when is Twitter the arbiter of all things that's moral or good in our country? I think we've declined a little in that regard.
Apparently, they've self-initiated themselves into that role.
Ah, okay. Well, then that could be. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. We'll come right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
I hate everything. Job, and I hate my life, and if it weren't for my two kids, I'd hate my ex-wife. I know I should move on.
All right. Thank you so much. Very timely because...
I hate everything.
Oh, I hate everything. Okay. All right.
Well, we've been called Waldorf and whatever his name was.
Schultz or something.
Stadler.
Stadler and Waldorf. Right? Yeah,
I'm going to get you guys shirts with those names on it so you know.
Somebody put it on our cue sheet, Joe. It's at the bottom of our cue sheet.
Oh, okay.
At the bottom.
Thank you. Well, I don't have that cue sheet.
Instead,
of,
they've crossed out, I'm Mark Lawrence, and across from me is Joe McGranahan. Says, I'm Stadler. Adler and he's Waldorf. All right, 1-800. Oops, so we'll scratch that. We got a caller on the line. We have an invited guest. I asked Kurt Mosser if he would call our show this week, and he agreed to. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Joe.
State representative in the 107th District announced he's not running for re-election. We start to see some candidates popping up. I saw one being talked about today, so that's happening already. Now is the time to circulate petitions, so this is a busy time. But, Kurt, not going to run again, going to head back to private office. Elaborate a little bit on that.
You know, it's just I was thinking about this for a while, and was I going to run again? Certainly COVID played a part in the restaurant business. It was a very tough, trying 2 years. And I just realized it's time. You know, I was never going to make a career out of this. It's time. I think COVID might have hastened it by a few years, but not many. And the new districts played a role. There's a number of things that went into it, but I started circulating petitions and just realized my heart's just not there, and when you realize that, then it's time to step aside.
But you've been in the leadership, so that creates a void not just in your seat, but in the leadership in Harrisburg.
Yeah, I've been lucky to be in leadership the last few terms, which is good. Was good for the region, certainly. And I enjoyed that time. I was honored to be selected by the Republicans to serve in leadership. But listen, somebody's going to always step up, no matter what the position is. Somebody's stepping up, and somebody's going to fill that position.
Well, and is there, are Republicans endorsing a particular candidate who's stepping forward to replace you?
Or are you endorsing anyone in particular?
I'm not. I'm waiting to see, you know, who comes out and talk to each of them. Right now, I've only heard of one. I heard Ron Tanney is running, but I'm not sure, but I'm guessing others will run. Mm-hmm. But I haven't heard any more names.
Right. It's such a surprise to folks. What's your reaction to the fact that folks are very surprised that you're not going to run again?
Oh, I mean, you know, I think I sort of surprised myself. Listen, I had a tear in my eye when I wrote that statement. It wasn't an easy thing because I'm pretty knee-deep in a lot of projects up here. So whoever I support will be somebody who makes sure that they continue that work that I've started, to at least see those projects through. And then maybe somebody who might have the same type of visions as I do, that we need to work to help these coal region towns and this whole district. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Kurt, if you could get one thing done between now and the end of your term that you would like to see accomplished, what would that be and why?
You know, I've really paid a lot of attention to Shamokin, and I certainly didn't not look at the rest of my district, but Shamokin is in Act 47, which is a distressed community. I felt they needed the most help. So I really paid a lot of attention to them, and there's a number of projects that are going on in Shamokin, namely a hospital, possibly a medical center going into Shamokin. So the momentum in Shamokin is really good right now. You're seeing a number of new businesses open, so there's things happening. Even though some people will refuse to see it, there are more naysayers there than I certainly would like. Hmm. But you know, I want to see some of those projects come to fruition.
Most frustrating aspect of serving in the past 10 years in the state legislature, something that you could not get done.
It's not something so much that I couldn't get done. I think the frustrating thing is how divided we are. How you have to be so far right or you have to be so far left. And the middle is sort of just getting, you know, I consider myself right of center, but I certainly don't consider myself a far right guy. And I think there's too much of that. I think the middle sort of overlooked. And that's a shame. I think you look at it, and a friend of mine told me this, and I think it was pretty deep, and I think it's right. I think Ronald Reagan right now would not win the Republican nomination for President of the United States, and I don't think John F. Kennedy would win the Democratic nomination because they're not far enough to the left or to the right. That's a shame.
All right. What issues are on the table down there that you will be dealing with that may come to a vote one way or another? I mean, we've covered a couple of things lately, like legalizing recreational pot or convention of states, these kinds of things. Or convention of states, I guess, is in the Senate. Anything
and
you're working on?
Radar for municipal police.
Jeez, okay. So the lightning round, convention of states. Let's start with that.
I don't think you're going to see it by the end of this term.
Do you support it?
Yeah, I think there's good points and bad points. I'm really worried about a runaway convention, but maybe if I sat down with John Shipman, I'd get rid of that fear.
He can sell anything, so yeah, he might convince you. Legalizing recreational pot being talked about.
It's coming. It will not happen by the end of this term.
Okay, but they're working on that. Let's see, what else is pending?
Radar for municipal police.
Oh, I'm sorry. Radar.
I'm surprised that didn't get done, Joe. I really am. I thought we had momentum there for a little bit, and I thought we had the votes to get it done. I don't know where it's at right now, but that's only a matter of time. It's a no-brainer to me.
It's stuck in the Appropriations Committee, and Stan Saylor won't bring it out.
I'll get on my buddy Stan when we're back down there.
Really, I mean, it's like the State Mayors Association. All we're asking for is an up-down vote. If it passes, it passes. If it fails, it fails. But we'd like everybody on the record.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
Okay.
I would be a yes vote for sure.
Okay,
bless you.
What about the idea of carrying a handgun without a permit in Pennsylvania?
I have to look at that more. I wasn't briefed on that yet. I know that's been circulating around, but we haven't caucused it.
Okay.
So I'm certainly a big Second Amendment guy, but I haven't looked at the insides of that bill.
Is there anything else you are working on right now that's right on the front plate that you'll be casting votes on as the year progresses?
You know, right now it's been a budget sprint because of the election, trying to get the budget done. There's a number of things COVID-related that were eased as far as regulations, a whole host of them, that were beneficial to businesses to help them through the COVID phase. We want to continue some of those the burdensome regulations, like easing those until we're through this for sure. The gas tax has been talked about, whether there's movement on that. I think there should be something, but we got to be realistic that we have bridges and roads to fix. But I'd like to look at something. We talked about it yesterday during our leadership call, and I think you're going to see something move there. But it's going to be mostly budget, certainly early on here when we come back.
All right. Anything else you'd like to add to our conversation? Maybe something we didn't ask you.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, it's been a real pleasure to serve. I was just so honored to serve and really, really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it when I'm back here, because the people around here became less enjoyable in Harrisburg, but I always loved being around the region. I'm gonna miss that part of it where you could interact with. But I'm certainly gonna still stay involved, and I'm still gonna talk to people and talk to my representative. I rarely did that before I got elected. I rarely reached out to our state representative or state senator. You know, we're running a business. You don't even. I mean, I never even thought of it. And but I know now that you should and keep them informed.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, you're going to be missed. I mean, you've done an outstanding job in the years you've been in Harrisburg, and it's not going to be easy to fill your spot, Kurt.
Well, they always get filled, though, Joe.
Somebody will.
Kind
okay.
words, but somebody always steps up and somebody fills it. I appreciate the kind words, and just looking forward to this next chapter where I can concentrate more on my business and help my family a little bit more. And the families pay a lot more than we do. The families are the ones who are stuck at home while we're at a dinner or drug along to the dinner or whatever you have. So I'm looking forward to that ending, you know.
All right. That sounds super. Well, thanks for calling us. Thanks for all your time with us. We'll talk again as the year progresses, we hope. But do stay in touch now and in the years ahead.
Yep. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Joe.
Yep,
Thank you.
Kurt Mosser,
right.
State Representative, 107th District Republican, and is not seeking re-election. So there are some folks stepping forward that say, hey, we'll give it a shot. We can talk about them in the days ahead and talk to them as well in the days ahead. 1-800-795-9565. We go back to open phones. Maybe have a remark about what Kurt Mosser had to say. We were talking about, I'm not sure if our topic is how much some people dislike individuals who are transgender, or how much Twitter tries to control the narrative by not allowing certain messages.
Well, when I brought it up, my intent was to discuss what is hate speech and what opinions are not permitted.
And you have the definition sort of codified what I described, that the definition of hate speech isn't just to say something, but it's to say something so that something gets done, some riot gets started, or somebody gets somehow actually injured.
That's if you want to prosecute somebody for it.
Right. It seems like it has to go with some sort of an action that was a hateful action. All right. So let's take a quick break. We're at a perfect pivot point in the show. I'll reintroduce Joe McGranahan, good local conservative, and he's got to keep his reputation up.
I'm a regional conservative.
Oh, regional. Okay, good. Regional conservative. He's got to keep his reputation up as a person who is says no to everything. And I'm Mark Lawrence. I portray a liberal on the radio, not exceedingly well, as many of our emailers have pointed out. So we would love your input on the topics we're discussing, media in general, and why can a private media company like Twitter say, oh, that's hate speech, we're not going to carry it, or just decide, hey, but we don't like it, we're not going to carry it. Why is that right? It should be free speech, right? 1-800-795-9565. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Text us at 70236. Always include the keyword OTM in that text. Kurt Mosser is Kevin's state representative. Yeah, he is. So, covered Montour County. Now, they'll switch state representatives. I think they're going to get glommed into the state representatives.
Glommed?
Yes.
How about
Linda Schlegel,
too?
Linda Schlegel Culver.
Okay.
Well, unfortunately, we're losing Linda, but we're gaining David Rowe in Snyder County and not Marion in Snyder County.
Well, that's. Sorry.
Why do I have to move everybody around?
I don't know. I think it was Senator Yaw who said what they did was they determined how the district should fit perfectly in and around Pittsburgh and Harrisburg.
Then they just clumped
everything
else. And
whatever was left, because, they really ruined. I mean, it's not a surprise that Kurt feels an element of frustration, because he really super served Montour County in a big way. And now he's got to learn a whole new constituency and, the things that they favor and the things they don't. And so it is a learning curve, I would think, anyway. And so it doesn't surprise me that helps the decision-making.
To the extent the population has changed, I can understand they have to make sure that it's one man, one vote. But, do they have to throw everything up in the air? I'm sure there are some areas where there very minor changes could have been made instead of these major changes.
Mm-hmm. Like David Rowe should handle Snyder in Union Counties, period, and Linda Schlegel Culver, Northumberland County, period. If you have to add on another area, that would be okay. But make it make sense. Now it's like a jigsaw
puzzle.
Well,
then you're throwing Kurt out of Northumberland County entirely.
Oh, well, that way he's retiring. So, honestly, I just think it looks like they took a jigsaw puzzle in our area and put it through a shredder. It's terrible. Everybody's and the districts aren't even contiguous. It's this odd, it's like a gerrymander.
Well, the courts have decided that this is what we're going to deal
with. Right. Yes, it's official now. All right. Now, this text has absolutely nothing to do with the person who was just on the phone.
It has to do with the earlier discussion.
It was sent 20 minutes ago before Kurt Mosser called, and we were talking about leaders in Harrisburg and Washington who are transgender. To that end, one of our listeners says,
it seems that there are many people in high positions with serious mental problems.
All right, nope, right in. Oh, nope, scratch that. That's energy.
Okay.
No, doesn't have anything
well,
to
we
do.
Have Dick from Milton on the line.
All right.
Good morning, Dick. You're on the mark.
I'm going to change gears here really completely. For the last 10, 11 years, I've gone to the NCAA wrestling tournaments. Last year, they had no fans, so to speak, so we didn't go. But we always stay in a major hotel because I always get my room. We always get our rooms through the Penn State Wrestling Club. And here's my thing. In the spring, I went out to Erie, and we stayed in a major hotel, and there was nobody cleaning rooms, making beds ever. And I think it was a pandemic. So we go out to Detroit, 21-story hotel, major hotel among all areas. Nobody's doing the same thing there again. I'm not sure if it's the pandemic, the cost, or I have a little theory about a lot of it, because I don't care where you go in the United States. I have never gone anywhere where these ladies, because most of them were girls, women, spoke Spanish. None of them hardly ever spoke English around you. And I don't know if they were undocumented workers. I doubt that there were illegal. Some might have been illegal. I don't want to go there because I don't know that. Undocumented. I guess my point being is it going to reach a point where we'll never have these people, enough of them in the country, to do that, what I call service task? And I guess my other thing, nobody goes out of high school at Warrior Run or Lewisburg or Shikellamy and says, I'm going to clean hotel rooms and do laundry for the rest of my life. That's a standard group of people that was their livelihood for most of them, and they're not filling it. And I'm not sure it's because nobody can afford to do it, or the pandemic is such that nobody will do it, or the hotels won't do it, or my other theory is there's a lot of undocumented people from Central and South America, in this country, that's what they did. It's kind of like migrant workers, and I'm not belittling the migrant. I'm not trying to belittle any of them. I'm just saying that's the people that did those tasks, and they're not doing it for whatever reason.
Well, I think maybe the reason is the government's giving them so many things they don't need to. The people have come across the border illegally.
Yeah, I understand that went somewhere, but you can't use that argument forever. There's not money under the table. The $600 a week went away. The unemployment kind of went away. You know, you could use that argument, but I don't believe that's in effect anymore.
Well, it's certainly
possible. And maybe that's what you think, and maybe that's the reason. I guess my point, then, the jobs will never be filled, if that's what you think. They'll never be filled again. They'll have hotels and motels all over the country in major cities. I'm not talking about Sunbury, the Shamokin Dam Strip. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of rooms in some of these places that never get cleaned, except when somebody leaves and they put in somebody else. They'll never be filled again. They'll never do laundry. They'll never make beds. I mean, maybe that's what people expect. I don't expect that. And I'm not trying to make excuses, right? I'm just saying, and I've only gone through this for 11, 12 years at major places, and it was always something that got done until I went to Erie, until I went to Detroit. And I don't know if that's going to be forever. There'll never be a group. I won't call them a group of people that do that with those jobs.
Well, there are people coming back to work because, I mean, some restaurants that had been closed during the pandemic have opened up again for in-person dining. Others have, you know, tried to maintain it as long as they could, and now they're finding that. Well, for example, I know one restaurant closes like one day a week because they can't get enough help, but others are opening up. So, I mean, I think there's hope. I'm not going to abandon hope yet.
Well, I'm talking about the major cities here. This isn't Sunbury. This isn't Shamokin Dam. This isn't Lewisburg with eight hotels with X amount. These are hotels all over. 21-story hotels, 20-story hotels, 15-story hotels.
You said that. Yep, we got
lots
it.
Lots of rooms and hotels and restaurants in there.
Not enough
with
workers.
No help.
Yep, we're
not enough. They didn't even have enough help at the desk, at the courtesy desk downstairs.
All right,
that's my point.
Same thing happened at Country Cupboard. It's sad. You know, it's no argument. It's sad.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, 1-800-795-9565. The Great Resignation is underway. Lots of folks don't want to work. Lots of folks aren't working for lower wages. Lots of hotels can't afford low wages or high wages. So, I mean, we have a lot of dynamics going on right now. I think this is one area where we talk about areas where President Biden could lead, and maybe he's not. You know, we have a severe worker shortage, and companies are struggling because they don't want to pay higher wages, but people don't want to go back to work, particularly for menial jobs, unless they're going to earn higher wages. So we're stuck in the middle. You know, where is the, you know, the...
Well, in a great country like ours, where Hunter Biden can sell artwork for $500,000, why would you want to clean hotel rooms? Start painting.
Okay. Is he part of the Great Resignation? Has he stopped his whatever his other job is?
I don't know. What is his other job? Oh, Burisma.
Influence peddling, as near as I can tell. Does he have an actual, sort of reportable job?
Yeah, he's painting artwork for $500,000 a shot.
Well, that makes him an artist, a painter.
I don't know if it makes him an artist, but it makes him rich.
Okay. Well, he's trading in on that Biden name. All right. 1-800-795-9565, upper corner. One of our listeners says, good morning, gentlemen. Hot off the press. Could we be considering a car-free Sunday to save on gasoline? Once they get a hold on these mandates, they'll love to think of new ones. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord on Sunday.
So no driving on Sundays.
I guess they're talking about...
Why, the old Sunday drive used to be a tradition.
It's a protest, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Or it's not a rule by the government. Another listener says, attention, Joe McGranahan enacted in 1967... Enacted in 1967.
4 years after JFK's death.
Oh, I got you. After JFK's death,
right.
Trump got around the law. Go ahead.
Well, you buried the lead. The lead is the anti-nepotism statute. It was enacted in 1967, 4 years after JFK's death. Trump got around the law by saying his kids were volunteers. Hunter Biden is an angel compared to the Trumpster. You need a scapegoat badly. It isn't the point of the law. The point is that people have traditionally relied on, to some extent, relatives or people they know well, and presidents have that right. I wouldn't take it away from John Kennedy. I wouldn't take it away from Donald Trump.
Well, yeah, you trust these people because they're family. And but there's a big difference between what the Trump kids did and what Hunter Biden does. I mean, the Trump kids had businesses and, you know, tried to sell trinkets and things like that based on their family name. But they'd been doing that for years. They didn't start up. But that's, they have a business based on the Trump name, and the Trump name is sort of a product. But
it's a
influence
brand.
Peddling is different. They didn't go to China and say, okay, I'm here. I have absolutely no skill in the nuclear power industry, but I'd like to talk to you about nuclear power.
Hi, I'm
because,
a Chinese oligarch.
Yeah, because
I'd like
I have
to give
access
you a diamond.
To the president.
Well, I'd like to give you a big diamond, Hunter.
Here that's what Hunter Biden has been able to trade on is the fact that he has friends in high places. So I think there's a difference between the Trump kids, which I don't really think is super duper good that they developed products while they were in the White House. That's not ideal. But that's fine. But what Hunter's doing is selling influence based on the Biden name, and that's not good.
Well, you remember going back a few years, Jimmy Carter's brother was a problem for him. Remember he had Billy Beer?
Billy Beer, right.
I'm sorry, not Jimmy Carter. That was Bill Clinton's brother, Billy Beer.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jimmy Carter had a relative who was...
Yeah, Jimmy Carter had a brother, too, I think.
Or a sister, maybe?
A sister or somebody in the family. But I was thinking specifically of Bill Clinton's brother, who was quite a problem for him.
Boy, we got to Google our brains to get this one. But yeah, Billy Beer was, that was different. All right, 1-800-7, let's take the break.
Let's have a Billy Beer.
1-800-795-9565. I'm sure there's people that have those up on the shelves. 1-800-795-9565. Last word on transgender, Joe.
Transgender. Whatever happened to the term transvestite? That's what society used to call people like Rachel Levine.
I don't believe so. I think transvestites were people that for an occasion or for some period
dressed
of time would just dress like a woman. But I think a transgender is an individual who, for all practical purposes, tried to become a woman or does become a woman.
So then what's a drag?
A drag queen? That's like a showy thing, like a drama show-off.
So, in other words, they don't have any particular reason for what they're doing. They just do it.
Well, they may like dressing like a woman or dressing like a man if it's a woman, but I think it's for a dramatic impact and not for just day-to-day life.
Dramatic or comedic?
Either way. No. I think comedic is part of it. If you see somebody that's dressed wildly like a woman and you know, he's Bob.
Sort of like when you come in here in your suspenders and your bib overalls.
What am I trying to dress like?
I don't know.
An ugly person?
Well, someone who's down on their luck, for sure.
Okay, a hobo. Yeah, I do come to dress like a hobo some days. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Not today,
which
though.
Which is why they abandoned the idea of putting cameras in here to video us.
Well, I have to abandon the hobo look.
Can you say hobo now?
No, hobo. It's hate speech.
Yeah, okay. A down on the luck person from Hoboken.
We have to think of a good name during the break for someone who's down on their luck. And let's see, indigent.
Indigent?
What would the other idea be?
Temporarily rock bottom.
We'll think about it.
Why don't we just call it Mark?
Hobo.
Or we'll just call it Mark.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Kevin Herb. fabulous producer taking good care of us across the board?
I think we should call hobos transient unemployed.
Okay, but what if a hobo stays at one train station and never leaves?
Well, I like hobo better. It's only two syllables. Transient.
Does that make him a squatter then?
Well, I don't know. Is he? Well, maybe he is a squatter.
Well, yeah. If squatters stay in someone else's property, sort of rent free.
Right.
So.
But it's hate speech.
Okay. All right. There we got it. Cindy, you're on the mark.
You know what I hate? I hate that they didn't give fair credit to the Penn State wrestling team. Just consider this. They have won the national championship 9 times out of the last 11 years. 9 times. How many times has the football team won? How many times has the basketball team won?
Never.
And here, these gentlemen work incredibly hard, put their, you know, their heart and soul on the line, on the mat, and they get minimal attention. I don't understand this. I truly don't. I remember once when Penn State won the national championship and people lined the roads to cheer the team. I don't understand why this gets kind of a, oh, so what? Approach to it.
Well, because I'm
kind of jealous of that gentleman that got to go. I watched it on television. It was amazing. I don't watch sports. I spent 3 days riveted to the computer and the TV watching these wrestling matches. They were amazing moments in sports history. Amazing.
Inspiring.
There are 10 weights. 5 national champions on the Penn State team. 5. That's incredible. Unheard of.
Well, Cindy, do you remember a few years ago when Sealands Grove beat Chickalimmy in football for the first time in like 30 years? The fire trucks had a big parade through town, you know.
That was wrestling, wasn't it?
No, that was football.
Oh, you're talking about the district championship. That's a little different.
No, I'm talking about years ago when we came here, Chickalimmy had won like 21 straight. And finally, Sealands Grove beat them, and they had a big fire truck parade, police escort. Then it went on to a period of time where Sealands Grove beat Chickalimmy like every year for like 15 more years, and their parade wasn't there at the end. You know, it becomes, people come to expect it. Penn State's so dominant, has such a great team that, you know, today the wonder is if they don't win the national championship.
I think people just aren't even paying attention. But I think they're so wrapped up in other sports, they're not even paying attention. And to me, wrestling is really one of the greatest sports. Two people. That's it. Two people. And 7 minutes.
Cindy, it's the only sport where you could be behind the entire match and with 5 seconds to go still win.
Yeah, pin that opponent and
it's
over.
Yeah, but they don't wear masks or throw things at each other.
It's not.
It is very sporting. Right?
But I will say this. I will jump in and say this, Cindy. For years, that sport was not nationally televised. So credit ESPN for the coverage that they had been giving it over the last several years.
Well, and Steve Jones has been giving it plenty of coverage on the Steve Jones Show, too. And they've been talking about it on the Penn State All Sports Show on WKOK.
Well, I think it deserves as much attention. I think it was eclipsed in part by an effort on ESPN's part to put female women's basketball up there. You know, there's only so many minutes in every day. You gentlemen understand that. You live by that clock, and you have to choose. And so, you know, this was an example of the choices that they were making. But beyond all of that, I just can't believe that there isn't more of a fuss. If Penn State had won the football, it would have been front page of every newspaper. But this, I mean, they just posted an article about it today in our local paper. I'm just stunned. It's in the sports section. It doesn't even warrant this. I mean, this is exceptionalism. This is exceptionalism. And even more to the credit is the fact that this team doesn't take the, you know, conquering Vikings approach to wrestling. They have a very healthy attitude about this, and they have a whole team family effort towards it, mocked by some, but, you know, their players didn't get any. So, yeah, and he, in the end, Mr. Brand acknowledged that maybe there's another way to do this. He's the coach of a different team. So, you know, I think that those gentlemen deserve accolades on a par with what would be received by certain other teams, and it's just a darn shame that they don't get the credit they deserve.
And Cindy, what's even more important or more impressive is they actually won the national championship before the final round. They actually clinched it before the final round even started.
All right.
Well, Cindy, all these All-Americans, it's just amazing, and it gets glossed over. Thank you, gentlemen.
You should call Steve Jones this afternoon and express that opinion. I'm sure he'd be happy to hear from you.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. They got a fabulous producer, Mr. Matt Cotrillo, will be at that table. Yesterday, we saw Kevin Herr at that table, strangely enough. This is WKOK Sunbury.